serpents and spiders, tail of a rat. Call in the spirits wherever they're at.
When you hear the knell of a requiem bell,
weird ghosts gleam where the spirits dwell.
Restless bones etherealize.
Rise the spooks of every size. Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
When the cryptos creak and the tombstones quake,
spook and pop will swing and wake.
Happy haunts materialize
and begin to vocalize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize. Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in black disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize. High over the dead oak tree,
who's to rifle the midnight spree?
Creepy creeps with eerie eyes
start to shriek
and harmonize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize. When you hear the knell of a requiem bell,
weird ghosts sing where spirits dwell.
Restless bones etherealize.
Rise as spooks of every size.
Welcome to the second annual Nerds Travaganza Halloween special. The Halloween special that would have been, but isn't, because galaxy-shattering news came onto the scene and completely knocked aside Halloween. Now, Halloween being my second or third favorite holiday after, like, Flag Day and Arbor Day, that's a big deal. But I think I speak for everybody here on the Nerds Travaganza podcast when I say this news is beyond important.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we get into it, and you can probably guess what it is just based on the title of this episode, I think we ought to just make our way through our weekly geekly roundups and then jump on into our topic, because once we get in there, we're going to be in a galaxy so far away, there ain't going to be any returning.
Not even a little bit.
With that said, why don't we throw it over to you, Brian, for your weekly geekly roundup?
Bunch of the same, painted, read comics. Actually attended a really cool thing that I've never heard about before. 24-hour comic book day. Anyone familiar?
Was that a thing?
I'm vaguely familiar. I know the concept, but I've never participated or, you know, I've never seen it live.
The concept, for those unfamiliar, is chain a bunch of comic book drawing monks to their desk for 24 hours and have them draw an entire 24-page comic book in that time.
Oh, wow.
Our local favorite comic book store, Tate's, not the Gaming Satellite, the Tate's, hosted that this year. It was opened all night, which I thought was very cool. I went at 3 in the morning just to see how things were going, just because I could. Could have got there at noon, could have got there at midnight, didn't want to, 3 in the morning for me. Things were actually a little slow at the moment, everybody was kind of passed out, but they were still chained to their desk, and many of them produced the 24 pages. The thought that was awesome.
And that's independent artists, right? Like, it's not like hired comic book guns or anything, it's local artists.
Yeah, local guys, I think it was supposed to be their first book sometimes, yeah.
Very cool. And we commonly refer to Tate's non-gaming satellite as Tate's proper. For those who are wondering.
That's cool, man. That's a pretty cool event.
That was a good week for me.
Is that something that's going to happen with regular frequency, or is that just a...
It's a yearly event.
Okay.
If you can call that frequent.
Not frequent enough.
It's an annual event? Yeah.
I want people chained to desks drawing comic books more than once a year.
I want Tate's to change to open later than 8 on a Friday night.
I really wish that they would. I mean, even if they could somehow change, go to a hangout type of format after a certain hour, it would be cool.
It was very cool that night.
I'll bet.
Pizza, sandwiches, people just hanging.
Cool. Anything else to report?
That's it for me.
Cool. How about you, Ricky?
Well, let me see. I just got back from a trip to the Epcot Center That's I think that's three times this month for me. So I went for the 30th anniversary of Epcot Center on October 1st. And then we popped back, I think it was the next week, just to hang out and do some stuff around all the parks. And then last week, I took the little lady for her birthday. So we went and hung out, did the food and wine thing. And then on the more traditional geeky route, not my normal Disney geek fest, been getting a lot of time in on... I'm not supposed to tell, but I'm part of the closed beta for the MechWarrior Online new mech game that's out. And actually last week, today's Tuesday, so yesterday they opened it up to the public for open beta. So I wanted to get a little bit of my secret special time in last week. And other than that, not a whole lot. Just been Disney and mechin'. About it.
Awesome, man. That sounds like a full week of activity, sir. And the Disney thing ties in nicely with tonight's topic.
Doesn't it, though?
It does. It really does.
What about you, Tom? What have you been up to?
Oh, wow. Hey, thanks for asking. What have I been up to? Some video gaming. I am continuing on with the Borderlands 3, making some good progress on that. Did I say three? I meant two.
Holy shit, he's living in the future!
You were special with in beta invites.
I know. I'm dealing with Epcot City of Tomorrow, and this fucking guy is like living light years ahead of us.
It's true. Listen, Borderlands 3, the second expansion pack, is cool. You'll like it when you get to the future where I live. No. Borderlands 2, the prequel to Borderlands 3.
Before you continue, though, I gotta ask, how's the 720? Is it worth the wait? All right, go ahead.
Nobody anticipated the toast making functionality, but it has been a real hit. They've made a lot of local bakery connections with that. It was fantastic.
Awesome. Having seen how hot the first one runs, I think maybe someone did anticipate that.
Like, we got the heat. Let's just throw bread in there. Let's make toast. Sony answered with an ice cream maker, and it turned out that fried a lot of circuits. Anyway, Borderlands 2 has been going well. I'm progressing in that game. I won't dwell on it too much, just to let you know I'm still playing it. I'm enjoying it. Recommend it. If you like Borderlands, get into it. The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. I am ready for the final battle. I'm all prepped up. I just got to go confront the last boss and win. And then that'll put an end to my 60-something hours of gameplay in that game.
Wow.
That has been an incredible journey. Let's see. I pulled out. I got a couple of for $2 at the Pink Gorilla Games store up in Seattle. A very nice chain if you're ever up that way. I was able to pick up from their scratch and dent sale a couple of Kingdom Hearts games. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2.
Speaking of tie-ins.
Yeah. Gosh, what a tie-in! I mean, it's like everything's just faded. So I got those two excellent games, and Brian was here with me when I confirmed that they both worked, so I'll be playing those, hopefully. Two games I missed out on until now.
So you bought used games?
I bought used games for
$2.
Holy
shit, dude!
I know!
That's almost as galaxy-shattering as the aforementioned galaxy-shattering information.
I never buy used games, but the guy was just like, yeah, I was just asking him, hey, how many Kingdom Hearts games are there, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he pointed me, he's like, yeah, we got these back there. We basically took them, we didn't want to take them as trades because they were scratched, and I was like, these guys are perfectionists because these discs are in great shape.
And those were really good discs. I would not have turned those down.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, man. I got to say, you know me, Ricky the Bargain Hunter. I buy everything used or old, and I'm very proud of you because I've been in those situations with you when you've seen something that you wanted and would not buy a shelf copy because it wasn't absolute brand new. So,
yep. Well, I feel good about this. I got these two Disney related games.
Awesome.
Super cheap, $2 a piece. I figured they could be coasters if they didn't work, but they work. And in addition to that, I have been taking the lead of you two guys. And as you know, and mess around with these Star Wars, miniatures game. We're doing the dogfighting with the spaceships. Picked up a new Y-Wing fighter jet for that.
Pew, pew!
And picked up a beta rulebook for the Star Wars Edge of Empire role-playing game by the same people who make that miniature game, that being Fantasy Flight Games.
Dude, we're like the beta kings this week!
We are the beta kings, which sounds like we're maybe not... We should be the alpha kings, technically. So we're like a second tier down. No, we're beta. We're beta. Totally beta. We beta stuff. But yeah, so things are just lining up cosmically. We all got Star Wars and Disney stuff going on. It's like it was meant to be. It's like Lucas and the Frozen and Carbonite Walt Disney, like, they had a conversation. They're like, these guys are bringing this together for us. We at the Nerd Extravaganza, we were the catalysts for this huge, massive development. By the way, this concludes my roundup. this huge, massive development, which is the merging of the Star Wars and Disney empires into something that I think is going to be awesome. What about you guys?
Okay, first I got to say, not emerging. People will probably have an issue with that.
You're right.
This was a straight out Disney, Mr. Walt Disney, as of 4:30 p.m. October 29th, 2012, thawed from his carbonite block and handed Sir George Lucas over $4.05 billion.
With a B.
For anything and everything Lucasfilms.
Yep.
Not just Star Wars.
Yeah,
not
Indiana Jones and Howard the Duck.
And ILM.
yeah, that's huge, man.
The whole thing.
I say merged because I don't see it as like Disney buying some, you know, they're both such massive, like, they both have such massive stables of like intellectual property that it feels more like a merger, even though it is a flat out purchase.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. I just know that there's going to be some sticklers out there that are going to point fingers and be checking the crossed T's and dotted I's and whatnot. So
the sucklers for accuracy are going to much prefer the image of Walt being thawed from carbonite and handing over the...
Yeah, you're right.
They wake him up, they're like, why have you awoken me? It is time. Very well. You told us to thaw you when something of great import was for sale. And then they run it all by him. He's like, this is cool.
Okay, so rather than just jumping into whether or not we think this is either a good idea or a bad idea, because that would probably make for not only a quick show, but maybe a boring show. Let's start off first with, are you or are you not surprised by this? And if so, under what circumstances are you or aren't you, or whatnot? Explain your answer, basically.
I'm seriously... I called the first five people who told me this liars. I never would have thought Lucas would do this. Complete creative control?
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Surprised is not the word.
Really?
For me, like... Okay. Disney, like, they have Marvel, you know what I mean? The comic guys. It's like, that, you tell me something like that, I raise an eyebrow, like, oh, wow, okay, that's impressive. But Lucas's empire was something, like, unto itself. Like, I don't know what the comparative market capitalization is and all that other nonsense, but...
Disney! that's what it is! If you look at it, dude, it was like Disney bought the sci-fi version of Disney.
Okay.
To me, that's what it seemed like.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I know exactly what you're saying. Because
I can't conceive of it as a larger consuming a smaller, as a purchase, as much as a merger. It's just so huge. And right. I'm with Brian. George Lucas, like, he was, like, mad when, like, his mentor, like, bested him with Empire and was like, oh, you know, I'll be directing these films from now on, and was, like, totally in control. And I like to think that he finally, like, sat down and was like, you know, I want Star Wars to continue even if I'm not directly at the helm. And who better to carry that on than Disney?
Right. You know? And I don't want to derail this, but I will say, I think if that's the reason they're putting out there. They're saying that that's the reason, that he wants it to continue. He's handing it over to a new generation of filmmakers. I gotta say that I think, if in fact that is the truth, as much as I don't really care for the IP that we know as the Clone Wars, I think the Clone Wars success and Disney's embracement of it is what got him thinking down that path.
Yeah. Yeah, like seeing the synergies that exist and
yes.
and the way to turn it over into good hands.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's funny you say you know, future directors. Brian and I arrived at like the logical conclusion for a prime candidate for who that might be. Do you have any thoughts on that, Rick?
No, because basically, you know, he's just kind of saying filmmakers in general. So I don't know of anybody specific, nor do I have any inkling of who might be well-suited for the next installment.
For a nerdgasm.
Sorry, I was clearing my throat. What was that, Brian?
Prepare for a nerdgasm.
Yeah, Brian, why don't you go ahead and spill the beans on that one?
Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Nice.
Told you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's why I thought I had no... I'm so overwhelmed with all the other news.
I know.
That the obvious completely escaped me.
If that is announced, like, within the next week, you're literally going to have people's heads exploding around the world. Like,
yeah. That would be fucking amazing, dude. I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
I'm already, like... I'm already imagining, like, a reinvigorated, like... you know, redeemed Star Wars franchise with my beloved characters returning, and like, even if it is in a torch passing senior role, I don't care. I'm so jazzed at the prospect of like a getting it right new trilogy.
For me, I'm not surprised that it happened just in general, but I'm not surprised at who it happened with, because I mean, I frequent the Disney parks enough where I've gotten comfortable with the fact that, you know, I'm walking through gift stores, gift shops on Main Street in Disney World, and, you know, I can buy Disney-flavored Star Wars action figures, fully packaged in Star Wars packaging and everything else. You know, I can get my R2-D2 mouse ears, I can get my C-3PO, I mean, everything. You can get anything and everything you want.
I mean,
Star Wars at Disney World.
And you could go to formerly MGM, now, you know, long since renamed Disney Studios, the theme park, and like, they've got like Star Wars is front and center, you
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe they were telegraphing it to us for a long time and we just didn't, you know, make the connection.
Well, you know,
I didn't think it would ever reach this level.
Yeah, this is kind of
complete
huge.
Creative like, control.
Well, you know, I mean, I
just going back to that.
I saw it happen. You know, we saw it happen with the Muppets, which, you know, not nearly as big, but I was surprised. Like, it's a completely different scale, but still a very independent, it is what it is kind of thing, you know? And for it to get sucked up, you're kind of thinking, oh, it's going to, you know, it's going to get ruined. But there was no ruining. Even with the Marvel stuff, you know, people jumped on this bandwagon of, oh, no, Disney's got Marvel and everything's going to suck. Well, ticket sales and general pop culture interest completely contradicts the naysayers and haters as far as, you know, the Avengers movies and other stuff. I mean, it almost blew up even more. So I'm surprised that it happened now, but not surprised, nor am I disappointed to see this happen. I'm excited.
I'm not disappointed either. I mean, there's part of me that, like, when I hear about corporations merging or acquiring other corporations, I want to be suspicious, but somehow merging Disney and Lucasfilm, like, two of my favorite, like, producers of creative content.
Right.
Yeah, it's just too good to be true, man.
Well, you know, one of the things that I did think was weird about it was this was purchased for $4.05 billion, right? Disney, when they took over Pixar, that was at like $7.8 billion.
Huh. Wow.
And that was just like a company that makes movies. Like, I mean, that's like such a, you know, I mean, that's the lowest common denominator definition, but it's not, I mean, do you know where I'm going with this? Like,
well,
that blows my mind to think that Pixar would be worth almost twice as much as Lucasfilms or, you know, Star Wars. That blows me away.
That's interesting, Rick. But that I think that says a lot about, and I'm with you. Like that, it, when you stack those numbers up side by side, I'm like, huh, that doesn't make sense. But I think it's because in our minds, Star Wars and what the things Lucas makes are so huge and so central to pop culture that we can't conceive of Pixar being worth more money. But if you step back from our fandom and look at it objectively, in terms of being prolific and just churning out profitable films, Pixar is like a factory, man. I mean, they just crank them out.
Right.
And have historically done so. And Lucasfilm, by comparison, has done like a few really extremely awesome blockbusters.
But what is cool is in the same, you know, in each one of, in their individual spaces, they both break the boundaries and are the pinnacle of what they do. So
yeah,
it makes sense. And, you know, Star Wars is more of a legacy intellectual property, maybe. I mean, yes, it's current, but its roots stem farther back. Whereas, you know, you're getting a new generation with the Pixar stuff. So it's almost like the best of the best concerning the old, the new, and the future. It's fucking awesome.
It really is. I mean, I just want you guys to know, this has sealed it. I am going to go and find a young lady, and I'm going to conceive a child now, because there's a new wave of Star Wars content coming out, and I will bring this child who I bring into the world to the theater to experience this stuff. So I just thank you.
I wonder whose story he'll think it is. Or she.
Because, like, I don't think we're not really old enough to have, like, to have had children to take to the
Oh, I was.
Oh, well, okay.
Depends on how,
But now I am definitely, I mean, I'm gonna go, seriously, the first willing woman I find, she's gonna be the vessel for my Star Wars baby. And then, that's it. I'm gonna bring up that little hut. Bring him up right. I'm this new generation of the best Star Wars crap since the original Star Wars crap. This is gonna be great. I'm so optimistic.
I can't find the exact number, but the Marvel number was in and around the same number as the Star Wars number.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think it was actually a little bit more.
See, that blows my mind, because I was just see, and that goes back to the point of where Star Wars figures into our mind. I imagine Marvel as being like a little just niblet compared to
right
to Lucasfilm.
But, you know, with all, I think the thing that really might have added a lot of value was the success of, you know, the action hero or the superhero movies and stuff. I think that's really when it started becoming like, okay, this isn't just comic books. This isn't just cartoons. Like, this is it's not just video games. This is some hardcore, for real contender to deal with as far as entertainment, pop culture, everything else. I think it took it to a new level.
Dude, we're going to be able to camp out for tickets again, man. I'm freaking excited.
I know, right?
You guys can meet my kid. He's going to be cool. Can't wait.
All right, I was on the conference call. Or not the conference call, but they. I was logged into the press conference, is what I meant to say, when they were doing the announcement. And they had a little bit of a Q&A session at the end. And there were some really good questions, but one of the questions that really stuck out in my mind and really put a smile on my face was somebody was asking, what's going to happen, or what are your intentions of ILM? And the guy didn't bat an eye, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. He answered super quick, very confidently, ILM is the best at what they do. They work with other studios producing things for, you know, the media and the industry above and beyond anybody else. We see no reason in changing that, which I thought was really cool. And then he went on to say that they have no intentions on interfering. Like, it's going to run its normal course. It's just, it's owned by somebody else now, and they're not looking to disrupt, interfere, interface with anything and everything that it already does, but they are going to go ahead and use it for their own advantage on their own projects.
Sure, of course.
So, I just found that that was like the final like sigh of relief for me. If it turns out to be bullshit, then so be it. But it's nice to at least be given that pacifier right now.
Well, you were worried that ILM would not be there as a resource for the industry as a whole anymore, or?
Well, you know, I don't know if I necessarily cared, but I could see where it would be a concern. And, you know, that thing has become such a giant part of what we know as media entertainment, you know, movie entertainment and stuff, that it would have been sad to see it become more privatized, or, you know, even if it was just like, for the next 5 years, you were not allowed to do anything except for our Disney co-branded films and whatever, it just would have kind of sucked.
Yeah,
so,
I think...
So it's nice to see them just be like, look, we're big boys, we just handed over a big check, we have no interest in fucking puppet stringing or changing anything. We're buying these guys because they know what they're doing, and you know what, we just want to be in bed with them. And this was the easiest and best way for us to do it. George wanted out, we wanted in, we're not fuck buddies anymore, now we're American.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, they bought the goose that lays the golden eggs. They don't want to, like, now trap the goose in a barn and not let it, not sell any of the eggs to anyone else, you
exactly.
know what I mean? To draw a weird analogy. Oh, man.
And then another part of that phone call was, or conference, excuse me, was they were asking about what the situation is with Fox, you know, the distribution. And, you know, because when they took on the Marvel properties, I think it's Paramount, they had the distribution rights for future films produced under the Marvel moniker, whether it was Disney or whoever, it didn't matter. They had the distribution already set up for future movies up to a certain point and stuff like that. They made it known that Fox, although they still contain some of the rights for distribution of the older films, there's nothing for the new films. They're going to all be completely just Disney. And the old stuff will cycle through and eventually will be co-branded as Lucasfilms, Disney, and Fox.
Huh.
For those distribution properties.
It's kind of funny because the Fox, you know, drum roll and stuff, I do always imagine as being, you know, right before the Star Wars pops up on the screen, so.
Right, and, you know, so that can get us into what I know you're super excited about, is this announcement of Episode 7 in 2015.
Oh, man, I'm...
Will we see the drum roll with the Fox logos? We're not going to see the logos, but will we hear the music? Will it change? I don't know.
That's interesting. That is going to change the theater experience somewhat. But you know what? At this point, I don't care if they put the lion or the TriStar Pegasus. I just want to throw anything up there at this point. Just give me my damn Episode 7 and make it good.
Well, there's a lot of hatred in the community about this, and I don't understand it. I mean,
it's... The Fox thing?
No, just the whole changing of hands in general.
Oh, people don't like change, man. People do not like change.
I mean, it's weird. Like, there's Star Wars people out there who are completely for it. There's Disney people that are completely for it. There's Disney people that are completely against it. And there's Star Wars people that are completely against it. I mean, the first hour of internet rage and glory on this thing was like a roller coaster ride from different page to page. And, like, I'm literally surprised by people that I was, like, excited. I'm like, fuck yeah, I can't wait to get out of work and tell these people this. And, you know, done with work, start checking my pages. I'm like, holy shit, he's pissed off about this? Oh my god, they're happy about it? Like, I'm getting the most awkward reactions from unanticipated reactions from different people. I knew you guys were going to be happy, but everybody else is just, they're freaking me out, man.
I'd like to make a gaming analogy.
Please do.
You know when you're mad at someone and you're playing a game and you pick the piece that they love just to keep them from having it?
Yeah.
I'm just glad Lucas doesn't have it anymore.
That's exactly where I was going with this, Brian.
The next three can't be any worse than the first three.
No, they absolutely cannot.
Dude, no. Even better than that. Even better than that. The one thing nobody is fucking looking at. He can't touch the fucking original trilogy anymore.
He can't monkey with him anymore.
He can't touch it anymore. Fuck you, get your hands off. I'm gonna kill you if you touch it, Georgie boy.
Mickey.
Don't make me do it.
I wish. And I've softened up on
Georgie. Lucas, you're killing me.
Gosh, those aren't your films anymore, George.
Yes.
I've softened up on Lucas a lot. Like I was a pretty big hater of his from the second first trilogy or whatever, you know, the prequels.
Jar Jar era, just say it like
yeah, that. I was hating, man, because I'm not gonna say he ruined my childhood, but I was like, man, how could you blow something that was such a slam dunk, you know? But part of me also, like, as they liquidate everything and, like, take possession of it, wants to be there when he has to, like, let people into the vault where he keeps, like, the originals of the film along with his, like, tape and scissors that he uses to slice and dice them all the time.
Yeah, and then all those original films that, quote, unquote, don't exist anymore because they've been digitized. Really? Because I don't see how digitizing something destroys or... He makes it sound like he actually fed the 35mm film in, or six, whatever it is, actual film strips into the computer to make it digitized.
Yeah.
Even though a bunch of people still have them and come forward and you can use mine.
Right.
Free. I think that I'd like to be there though. When the part of me that's still a little resentful would like to be there when that final step comes and it's like they go into his personal vault and like, all right, dude, turn over the goods. And like, that's the moment where he like has a change of heart. Like, no, what did I do? No.
No!
Darth Vader, no, but it's too late. But no, I know nothing of the man's mind, but I like to think after going through being at the top of the world and then having to, like, and then being, like, trying to go against his fan base and I know better and going through all that ugliness, I think he finally came, and then vowing to never do another film, I think he finally just was like, you know, I should just let this go. I should let other people take it. This has grown bigger than me. And you know what? The $4 billion helps.
He let that chick take over pretty much everything. She runs... I don't remember what her exact title is or what her name is because I'm a horrible nerd right now. But, you know, he kind of relinquished control to somebody else. And she's been in charge for a little while now and basically has say over everything. He's pretty much been in... semi-retirement, I guess you'd call it. Just kind of just being there and not really doing anything, not holding the reins anymore.
Didn't he retain, in this deal, did he retain some kind of creative consultant position or something like that?
I don't know. I don't, not that I've seen or heard.
I think I read something like, so I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to call George Lucas in and be like, hey, we need a couple of alien critters. And he's going to do like his favorite thing, which is like pull alien body parts out and like build a creature. You know, I'm happy to see him involved in a level that he enjoys, which is just making critters, you know, but not having all that stress and pressure that was obviously too much for him, you know, that comes with actually being the person in charge of the overall filmmaking process.
Yeah, I mean, really the whole story of George Lucas has got to be pretty sad. I mean, you shoot that big of a load that early in your career, man.
Yeah.
And then you've got nothing except you got to live up to yourself over and over. But I do think it was awesome, you know, what he did with ILM and, you know, branching off into other things, I thought was really cool because he still found ways to push the envelope. He's like, well, I'm not going to battle myself on this. You know, I'm going to go do some other shit. and make it happen. And everything, I mean, everything that guy touched turns to gold, man.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, some of that gold rusted, but...
I mean, I think... Like I said, I think he's going to have his $4 billion built into the form of, like, the Millennium Falcon, and...
yeah, right.
He's going to love life. So this is good for Star Wars, I think, big time, and great for Disney as well. Speaking of which, I mean, we focus mainly on the films and the Star Wars properties, which are obviously film related. But what do you think this portends for the Disney theme parks?
Well, hopefully they're just going to level whatever Hollywood Studios or whatever it is, and make it entirely Star Wars.
Like Star Wars Land, that would suit me fine. Star Wars park.
There's so much talk about making Star Wars Land inside of Hollywood Studios. I mean, pretty much that whole park, it sucks. And the only thing that's really good in there is the Star Wars section. And, you know, there's a lot of... And the Muppet section, I'll give credit there.
I like Tower of Terror.
It's a decent ride, but it's not an area.
It's 10 minutes.
And, you know, they have the ability there to flesh stuff out in a way that would just... I mean, dude, think about, like, a Mos Eisley's Cantina eatery place with animatronics, you know, like you're eating at a restaurant. I mean, why not a Star Wars themed cantina restaurant in the Star Wars section of the MGM Hollywood Studios?
I'm so with you. Like, you walk in and it's like architecture from the Star Wars films, like with those panels. You know, they use like those panels and all their structures that have like parts protruding from them and like droids just buzzing around. Oh yeah, just the ambiance. Are you kidding me?
Right, it would be amazing.
They plant a second Epcot dome there, but this one's shaped like a Death Star.
They need to change the monorails to the little Rebel transport carriers.
You don't understand. They could. Yes, Brian, absolutely, and they could. They could revolutionize so many things there. The Wedway People Mover could be like those little, People Mover cars. They drive around the hangar bay where the X-Wings are.
Yes.
Tomorrowland could be turned into like a... I want Star Wars to like intrude on most of the Disney parks, man.
I was just going to say, how would you feel about a Star Wars overlay on Tomorrowland?
Oh, my mind would get blown. Holy crap, just Space Mountain alone, the things they could do with that.
What they could do to Space Mountain? They could retheme it, because it already looks like a snowy mountain or whatever. It could be like a Hoth roller coaster.
Oh, yeah. Escape from Hoth. And you're like trying to take off, and then you start off on Hoth, and then you like shoot into space as the ion cannons like shooting over your shoulder, taking down Star Destroyers. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, like retheme like the bottom layer to be like your... you're outside in the snow and shit like that. And as you, you know, warp around the track or whatever and do what you gotta do, then you get shot out, you know, up past the ion cannons, and then you're in the upper...
In space.
You're in outer space where it's all dark. So you've got the lower side of the ride is all hopped out. And then they can take all the broken Yetis over from Animal Kingdom from the Everest ride and stick them in there, and they could be those Wampas.
I was just going to say, the queue could be like the actual tunnel system in the Rebel base. You could have like Wampas like bursting out of like doors. Like, yep. That would be awesome. Oh, man. You could turn like Fantasyland into like Naboo. I don't care. You could transform anything.
Can we finally get rid of those stupid go-karts?
Yeah, now they're going to be, what do you call it, speeder bikes. What do you think of that?
Yeah, they're going to put a fucking Endor Forest in there.
Dude,
and they'll still be tracked. They'll still be tracked vehicles, but they'll be slow-moving speeder bikes.
All they would have to do to please me, same stupid ride, same kiddie thing, even call it a kid's version, I don't care. But now it's pods for pod racing.
Oh, that would be...
Junior pod racing lead. And all you got to do is make them look like pod racers and make pod racing noises, and I'm there.
Dude, that would be sick. Okay, obviously that's never going to happen, but there is a possibility over at the studios where stuff could happen. They could do some expansion.
Well, they're going to do one of those cookie-cutter Dumbo rides.
They've already got two over there. Yeah, they could put out, like, it's a Jar Jar Binks flying ride and use his ears as wings.
Whee! No, God.
Yes, no go higher!
Honestly... So, I really hope that they do at least, like, there's no monorail service to Hollywood Studios, is there?
No.
They should add a spur or whatever they call it, like a line, and they should have, like, a monorail that's, like, totally Star Wars'd out. That would kick ass.
It would kick ass.
Just Star Wars out all, just, oh, man, just Star Wars out all the monorails. Just make, somehow make Star Wars everywhere. I'm in love with this idea for the theme park. Come on, the Death Star Epcot dome would be badass. They'd have two domes.
Dude, imagine this. They have a special nighttime show instead of the usual illuminations. And you know, during illuminations, they get that globe that comes out on the water?
Yeah.
And it lights up or whatever? Here's what the new thing would be. There'd be a laser holographic overlay on Spaceship Earth.
Okay, okay.
And then the little ball that comes out for illuminations...
Is Alderaan.
Is Alderaan, exactly! Yeah! And Spaceship Earth shoots the laser, boom, blows up the planet, and then laser fight hologram dogfights of TIE fighters, X-Wings, and whatnot fly over the fucking World Showcase Lagoon.
I am so there.
Hell yeah! I'd never leave!
And not only that, the lagoon now features all sorts of Nubian watercraft.
Yeah, and bigger. You can go through the core from Epcot.
Dude,
to the studios.
They reopened 20,000 Leagues as through the core of Naboo. Oh,
well,
man.
Even though it's been paved over and filled in, that would still be an awesome idea.
Ariel's Grotto.
It's a new Ariel ride.
Yeah, dig it back up. I want that ride back pronto, and I want it as a journey through Naboo. Oh, man.
But in actuality, if it was going to happen, obviously it would happen at the studios. It's there. But the sad part is they just announced a big Cars Land expansion.
Cars?
Well, we preempted our show. They can preempt Cars.
Yeah.
And there's Avatar Land that's supposed to become an Animal Kingdom. Fuck Avatar Land.
I don't think... You're one film deep in Avatar territory. Let's see if we've got a franchise on our hands before we invest. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. So is everybody else. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it.
Maybe it was just a cover for this.
Dude, an Endor Forest. Hey. An Endor Forest edition.
Oh my god.
Animal Kingdom. I
would learn to like Ewoks just so I could fucking go to that thing, man. Little midget guys walking around in Ewok costumes. It'd be badass.
Hell yeah. It'd be better than Avatar.
Actually, I mean, if Avatar 2 is good, and that, you know, that could be like just another awesome reason to go to Disney, but I really think they need to focus on this Star Wars thing. This is kind of like the new most important thing in the galaxy far, far away. This is like huge.
I mean, they have Star Wars weekends. They've hosted Celebration, they have the Star Wars land, they have the whole, you know, Jedi training academy.
Can they do a Star Wars themed resort on property? Because I would live there.
Awesome, dude. Holy shit, I'd fucking live there. I would.
Oh, me too.
God, that would be so awesome,
it
man.
It could be a hotel room. But just, like I said, just with the aesthetics of the Star Wars universe, little panels and just the way the walls are shaped and everything. And
like the Value Resort, your rooms would look like the little prison chamber that that Leia was in.
Your alarm clock will be the friggin' torture droid. Dude, you could do themed rooms. You could have some look like the rooms on Tatooine. You could have some look like little Ewok huts. You could have there's so much you could do.
Drink blue milk.
You could drink blue milk in the cafeteria.
If they ran with the cantina idea, you know, like Harry Potter's got the butter beer, and then the new, or whatever, is that what it is, butter beer?
Yeah, butter beer.
And then the new thing at Fantasyland is there's some kind of, in Gaston's Tavern for Beauty and the Beast, there's some new, like, kid-friendly, fake alcoholic, you know, signature beverage, obviously biting off the Harry Potter deal. But you could do the same thing over in the Star Wars land, man. You could have the blue milk.
Oh man, I think
signature drink.
Come on down to
the frozen slushy, man. That looks like blue milk, and you drink it because it's nice and cool to cool you down while you're walking the sands of Tatooine. God, it would be awesome. I fucking love this, dude. I said it today at work. I was like, I wish to God I was 15 years younger so I could fucking be around for 15 more years, longer than I'm expected to be, just to see what unfolds.
I know. I hope that Star Wars takes such an... I don't even care if it takes like a preeminent role, at least in the studios, man, because that's like their biggest like movie property, honestly. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I as awesome and you know, generation spanning as Avatar is, I liked Avatar.
I still haven't seen it out of principle.
Do a couple of movies, get a huge. I don't know that there's an Avatar con or anything that people go to yet. Let's wait and see if there's a fan base for this. That's
honestly, I think they were just. I think they were trying to. Not jump the bandwagon, but I think they wanted to get in while the getting in was good. You know what I mean? Like, let's partner up and help push this puppy to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have a stinker of a second film, and then you got a big problem on your
hands. There's tons of things that we can talk about on another episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why but, it's such a bad idea. I mean, I have, I'm not going to say insider information, but, you know, from the podcasts and stuff that I listen to, there's often a lot of talk about it in the forums and whatnot. And there's some pretty funny things as to why this, you know, has become such the shit fest that it is. So we can talk offline about that, but it is.
Well, you bring up some Disney podcasts. I'm going to have to be doing some listening. Cause I bet you, I'm hoping that they have the like mind blow that we do, over this.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I mean, I'm sure probably better than anybody, the fanboys in Kingdom Cast. Probably Kingdom Cast is going to have a fucking awesome take on this.
I agree.
Ron and Gary and Chris and the boys. Okay, that's going to be fucking great. I can't wait to hear this.
Brian, you've been, I'm sure just getting blown all day by all of our awesome observations and contributions, which is why you've been a little quiet. But what do you...
I told you, I was speechless. I don't know how to make of this.
You say you were speechless. So was I, man. When I first, I didn't. I wanted to post on Facebook. I wanted to say something. I wanted to like message my friends, and I just had to sit there and absorb.
Me too. I didn't know what to say, and I kept saying, "Am I happy? I don't know. I'm not mad, so I must be happy. I don't know. This is fucking weird, but why? But it's good, but why? I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't love it. Wait, yes, I do. Wait, no, I don't. I was so confused."
I always wonder what it would be like to wake up on Christmas morning and have the 7-foot-long G.I. Joe aircraft carrier under the tree. And I think it was probably something like this is what how it would have felt.
Very much so.
Now, guys, we're kind of going... We're just imagining, like, the galaxy, no pun intended, of things that could be incorporated into Disney parks and things like that. But I think just as exciting is the thought that we could be we're not going back in time with this proposed new trilogy. We're going forward. We're potentially going into a future of Star Wars, potentially seeing new things that we've never seen before. You know what I mean? New spacecraft, new things that we associate with Star Wars, maybe new aliens, new critters. It's like a wide open world. I understand that there's some paths that they may follow in terms of the books that have been written. But what do you guys think we could possibly be looking forward to when it comes to the new films?
I will allow myself to be negative just for a split second. One of the articles I read quoted this, and quotes always scare me. Someone did say that they would be rebooting the Star Wars franchise.
That was us in a past episode.
Oh, dear.
It was context that we'll be revitalizing it. He may have just misspoke and said reboot. That is the only thing that would ruin this for me, if they actually like started over, which everyone seems to be doing lately.
That would pretty much ruin it for me, too. But I do want to point something out, and Rick, I think, just alluded to it. I just want to say, in our previous episode where we talked about the 3D re-release of Phantom Menace, I mentioned that... And we both mentioned we were going to see the movie so that we could give our money over to George Lucas so he would be prompted to make episodes 7, 8, and 9. And I like to think that we at the Nerdstravaganza podcast have done our part to bring that about.
I still have my little snow trooper souvenir from that.
Actually. That's right. That's
he didn't right. need to get my money. Again.
We had fun. We had fun going to that, didn't we, Brian? I mean, we relived the magic in 3D.
But to actually answer your question, I'm hoping they do Dark Empire.
Okay. Is there a reason, or a particular reason, or
just my favorite period? So awesome.
Where do the main characters? Where are they in their lives or whatever by the time those books transpire? That book. I'm not familiar.
Evil Luke. Luke succumbs to the dark side.
So he could be like 55-year-old Luke, and that still works.
They probably need to spackle him up a little bit.
Okay.
They need to smooth him out a little.
Okay.
I think it was like 5 years after Jedi.
Oh boy, they might have to do a little spackle work. But I know there are levels of canon, and they could always, you know, fudge a bit to fit, you know, a book, a later book or a series of books in. You know, they can make it 15 years later or something. You know. Do you want to see? Do you guys want to see original cast members featured throughout the new trilogy, or as a we're passing on the torch, you know, in that sort of a role? Or
I'd like, I don't know, like. I wouldn't mind, like, cameo, not cameo, but, like, maybe small parts, you know, Luke but I want them to be as them.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see Luke Skywalker as somebody, you know, on the council or training other Jedi or something in that. If not, I don't want to see Mark Hamill just in there as pod guy number three.
Oh no, that I would puke if they did that. I don't think they would ever disrespect Luke Skywalker and the main characters by doing that. I mean, I hope not. Good God.
I don't see how they're going to do anything else, though, because they can't play the original characters, and you can't really have Star Wars without those characters, I don't think. Not yet, anyway.
Why can't they play the original? I mean, an older version of the original characters. Why can't they...
See, I'm that's what I'm getting at. I'm not against that if it's in context of the movie. So, I don't even know how to describe it. I don't want to see the movie based on old Princess Leia, old Luke, old Han.
Right.
But if they're in the movie as their character at their proper age, and it plays a part in the movie, part in the story, I'm fine with that. But
maybe
I don't want
do
it
like
to
a...
be about them. I don't want it to be a fucking Brady Bunch reunion.
I'm okay, yeah. If they're not central, I wouldn't mind them having a role. Like, I'm not against necessarily... There's nothing in the Star Wars like universe that requires that you be young. Like, you know, you had characters like Obi-Wan and Count Dooku.
Who
were, yeah,
exactly.
older characters who were still badass. So, and Yoda, who's ancient. So I don't... The age thing isn't... I would rather them...
Okay, think about this. What about some kind of conflict with the Jedi, you know, the Jedis that are out there, or whatever, and, you know, you got some youngling coming... Not a youngling, but you know what I mean, a younger character who's more the focus character comes in and, you know, wants to know from Master Skywalker, how should I proceed? You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, I think it's too entrenched in existing canon because I can't see it happening with what I know of what's supposed to happen after the movies.
Yeah, that's the big question. Is like, are
they're going to have to like just buck that?
Right. Are they going
to? Which I don't want them to do.
Are they going to do original content? Are they going to do original content based on their own idea, throwing canon out the window? Are they going to do original content based on canon? Like, what are they going to do? Nobody knows yet.
I looked this up one time, and so I'm not sure where the books fit in terms of canon. I know that the films are top tier, absolute, written in stone canon, but Lucas can change them whenever he wants. But
so this won't be Boba Fett, Return of Boba Fett, Episode 7.
No, or like the Clone Wars, the Return of Darth Maul with mechanical legs. No, it's
okay,
not going to be something stupid like that. But I guess because the films are top tier canon, they could elect to, you know, go in the direction of one of the books, which I think again, I'd have to look and see the chart. I don't know where the books fall, and there may be different layers, but they could pull from the books to continue the direct canon story. That's going to piss off people who are fans of the books. I am speaking from a somewhat like biased position because I haven't read the books. I'm not invested in them like Brian is, and a lot of people I know are. And, you know, I understand they're compelling stories, and I understand like the why people want to see them followed if possible, but it can't be done. Like, right, Brian? That can't be done with Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford today because they're too old, right?
They may as well just CG them.
CG re-releases. Well, here's my thought. Do movies somehow, and I don't know how the events would play out that would allow this, somehow do movies set farther out and then backfill the book stuff with CG, and then we're done. Like a TV series that goes through all those books. And then we're done. There, I have a solution. So I'm gonna ring up Michael Eisner or whoever the heck's running Disney now. get that knocked out. I mean,
all right, you can do that, and then that may take precedence over other suggestions, like I don't know, a Star Wars Avengers crossover, animated, an animated Star Wars Avengers crossover? Who knows?
It's totally gonna. I mean, it's Darth Maul versus Wolverine. I mean, it's totally gonna happen because it's what the fans want, and what the fans want is what we deliver.
Stormtroopers.
What's that?
Stark Industries Stormtroopers.
Oh my god, that would be fucking awesome.
That would be kind of cool.
Now I'm on board, bro. With that single comment, I am now on board.
Clones versus it's. The what are the Kaminoans who make the clones? Like, they're contracted by
Stark Industries.
They're contracted to create a clone army to wipe out mutants on Earth. Now, to speak on the movies, though, I would rather, if it came down to sacrificing these future movies in order to preserve the books, or sacrificing the books to make awesome future movies, I don't think I need to say which direction I would go. I don't think it will come to that, but
I think most people would agree with you because the movies are more of a common property to the collective culture. The books is a little bit more subculture-y. I mean, I'm a gigantic Star Wars fan and have been for fucking 45 years probably, and I've only half read one Star Wars book and it's still sitting on the back of my toilet.
I'm so missing out.
That's what everybody says, but I don't know. It's like Star Wars is to me, Star Wars is the first three movies. That is Star Wars. So
I think I'm less likely to read the books now because until there's something revealed about what the movies are going to be, because I don't want to get engrossed in the books and be like, they must do this. This is what must happen. And then have them disappoint me by doing something else.
Right.
I don't know. This makes it harder for me now. But it's a good problem to have. It's a better problem to have than we had during our Star Wars 3D episode where it was a pipe dream to think that they would make more films.
Right. Which, you know, where obviously the new films are going to be 3D. I just hope that they're not, you know, I hope that the next movie isn't a Pixar animated Clone Wars style Episode 7. So we've got the Amazing Trilogy, the Limp-Wristed Trilogy, and then the animated Clone Wars Trilogy to wrap out the final three. Oh my god, that would be horrible.
I don't think they'd go there. I don't think so.
No,
they wouldn't call it Episode 7 if they were going to do that.
That's just my biggest fear. I'm just putting it out there as my big fear of what I wouldn't want to see. I'm happy to see anything, but that's what I wouldn't want to see. Well, I don't want to see that, and I don't want to see a reboot.
A reboot would ruin it for me. I mean, my greatest fear is the Clone Wars TV show has gone so far off the rails that I as long as they don't do that, I don't think they will. I think
hey, they'll either do it or they won't do it. There is no try. I fucking butchered it, but whatever. I got it in.
I think we just need to place our faith in the power of the Force and just be happy. I'm pretty much buzzing about this whole thing. So,
Georgie, You're killing me.
Cool. Well, I think we've conveyed our excitement. Any final thoughts before we blast off out of this episode?
I'm happy. I'm looking forward to seeing my two favorite things fully mashed together like this. I'm extremely excited and optimistically hopeful of awesomeness in the future.
Nice.
No matter what happens, I just don't think it get any worse than the 1, 2, and 3. So
agreed.
I'm happy with the acquisition.
I'm with you on that, Brian, 100%. You know what? I've already had the shitstorm. It'll either be more of the same, and whatever, I've already been disappointed once. Disappointed a second time isn't going to hurt. So I have nowhere to look but up, and that is an awesome feeling.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we'll either end up with something like the prequel trilogy, but prettier, so at least we'll have better graphics to look at. And let's be honest, at the end of the day, I'd still say, when Phantom Menace comes on TV, I still watch it. So
on Spike with commercials every time.
I can't admit that in public.
So we've got, at worst case, more of that coming our way, unless they go off the rails and decide to do some crazy CG nightmare, which just isn't going to happen. So yeah, I'm as optimistic as I've ever been about the future of Star Wars. I'm psyched, and Disney, actually. This is getting me a lot more interested in Disney.
Annual pastime.
I'm thinking
an annual pass. Oh yeah.
I'm thinking that may be coming up in my future, especially if they can like make it look like some kind of like credit card from the Star Wars universe. Like,
oh hey Tommy, you can buy your annual pass with Republic credits.
Republic credits are good here. Cool. All right, guys. I think that's a wrap then in terms of this episode. Before we go, I guess we might as well remind our audience that they can check us out on iTunes and rate us favorably.
And if you don't like the iTunes, you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the shows, leave us some comments. You can even send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And they can find us on Facebook. Don't forget.
Yeah, join the Facebook group. You can bullshit with us all day long instead of doing real work.
Yeah, this Facebook thing's taken off, too. So, might want to get on board.
I heard it's going to stick around for a while.
I think you're onto something there. All right, may the Force be with us.
And with you.
Always.
Peace!
I mean, I wanted Tron Land, but Tron Land could suck a dick.